This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Tan Chung Han, and we have our guest, Joyce Goh, senior editor of the Edge Media Group, on the show that gets to the stories behind the headlines. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Joyce.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, we've come from that long weekend. I don't know if you took the whole week off last week, did you?
Oh, no, I was working.
Oh,
wow.
You were.
But,
oh,
my goodness. But that didn't stop
you from... But long weekend, four days.
Yeah, and that didn't stop you from, you know, having some parties. Holla.
This is extra textual information.
Real,
we don't know this.
No, this is the real story behind the story.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Now, we want to begin with a story that you did on financial comparison sites. And you have the, it's sort of, the headline is Banking on Financial Comparison Sites. And you look at several, and you have all these four handsome men, handsome men there who are kind of the faces of these sites. But tell us why the need to kind of analyze financial comparison sites? Have they become that big a phenomena?
Actually, yeah, I came about this story because, you know, we noticed that a number of sites have come out. I mean, but it has been comparison sites have been in Malaysia for over a decade, but only recently do you see like that platforms have gained traction with banks who are their clients and the public, right? So we thought of reaching out to banks to get their take on financial comparison sites, because they work with financial comparison sites as well, and also these sites, to see what is this growing trend, you know, and online, everyone's going online now for things, you know, and that includes banking products, right?
And real quick, these financial comparison sites are, like, the names real quick?
Oh, the sites, the ones that I talked to is Ringgit Plus and Compare Hero.
Okay, yeah. But there are a total of six sites,
yes,
I believe?
Yes, there are a total of six sites.
Yeah, but iMoney, Loan Street, Bole, Compare, and GoBear, right?
Yes, as I mentioned in my article, yeah, correct, yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting for me, you say that the banks are working with
Yes, you're saying.
So the question is, how independent are they? Because what I think we all want when we see reviews or comparisons is we want independence. We want them not to be involved with precisely the players that they're analyzing or reviewing, right?
But these sites, what they do is they aggregate products and services for the banks. So like personal loans, credit cards, mortgages. So as a user of the site, if I'm allowed to go and go every bank and find out the product, I can go to these sites and compare. Like, let's, for example, I want a credit card, but I want to make sure I get a good deal. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you want cash back, then you can just go to the websites and you tick on, like, I want cash back, I don't want to pay annual subscription fee, show me these cards. And then they'll show you these cards from which banks, and then you can go from there. If you do click, you become like a customer. It's like customer acquisition for the banks. Mm. So these sites will get a referral fee from the banks for introducing me to them.
Oh. Right.
So rather than you walking around shopping mall and they come, sir, do you want credit card? No need subscription fee. It's a different kind of platform. So this one you can compare. They help you compare it.
But then you forego the free gift that you often get, you know, at the mall when they make you sign up for a credit card.
They do tell you, you know, this credit card comes with what? Free, some of them, very good deals.
Still,
they do tell you that.
But I know from my personal experience, you know, this was a game changer, because in the past you would say open an FD. When I open a fixed deposit, I would just automatically go to the banks whom I already had accounts with, right? But you know, of late, when I opened FDs, I would then go to these sites. Oh, these guys are offering the best rates on a 6-month or a 12-month. Then I'll go and open with them, despite me not having an account with that particular bank.
Okay, so this doesn't involve reviewing the services of the particular financial institutions. This is merely about putting against each other.
Aggregation.
And compare.
So, but why couldn't banks do that themselves? For instance, couldn't a bank just say, you know, I'm providing, and this is better than the bank next door?
Right. No. I asked one of the comparison site players this, and this is Siu Yan Tak. He's the CEO of Jinexu Sundaram Berhad, who owns Ringgit Plus, the platform. And I asked him, why would banks rather work with third parties than build their own platforms? And Siu said that he believes is because financial institutions want to work with companies that specialize in specific tech areas when it comes to certain segments, rather than spend time building it themselves. So he says, the solutions and services comparison sites offer are based on specific core specialities. So from what he has observed, it's difficult for banks to build certain tech solutions quickly. You know, and it's not just banks that face this difficulty. Any industry where a large corporate is trying to build a tech solution, sometimes, you know, you have a situation when the smaller specialized company that has focus, speed, they do it better. Mm. You know, larger companies, more red tape. And then by the time, you know, if you don't get into the game fast enough, then that's because all this is all about building base.
Right.
Again, digital, right? Yeah, building base.
And going back to what you suggested earlier, Sharad, no, it's not like, say, Bank A will actually say, you know, hey, this is these are our rates, and then here are Bank B's and Bank C's rates all on your website. No, they will obviously only promote their own stuff, right? So now with these financial comparison sites, well, you then can compare from A to Z.
Yeah,
or
it's
a
trust
to,
thing or so, like, correct, right?
But, you know, there's just around the corner from BFM, there's a furniture store that says, our furniture is cheaper than the store next door. You know, I think we could take it.
I also spoke to Benny Chi, who is the MD of CompareHero.mine, and he shared that the current economic climate and pressure on banks to reduce their cost to income ratio is also top priority now. And I guess that he says this has led to the existence of non-biased financial comparison sites like themselves.
Right.
Yeah, because this helps them with the cost.
And it shows that there's willingness on the part of banks to work with their potential disruptors, right?
I spoke to Standard Chartered's Global Head of Design and Client Experience, Denise Guven, and also Maybank's Michael Fong, who is the Group Chief Strategy Officer, and both shared that they do work with comparison sites and they find that relationship mutually beneficial if it's in this current working relationship that they have.
And in your article as well, you cite some numbers highlighting the tremendous growth in financial comparison sites. Walk us through some of those numbers.
Actually, when we were talking about the players today, there are six, right? But it's up 100% from three in 2013. So that, like, just players alone, that has grown. And then if you look at average of 300,000 monthly visitors in 2013, that has grown to 2.5 million today. And credit card approvals from 500 in 2013, that has gone to 80,000 today. Year to date. I'm talking about
80,000 year to date.
Yes.
Credit card approvals.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And 300 for personal loans in 2013, that has grown to 18,000 year to date. And this one is interesting. Personal loans disbursements from online financial aggregators expanded from 5 million ringgit in 2013 to 300 million year to date.
Yeah, no, and
so that has grown. I mean, everyone, I guess, maybe they're also looking, they're banking on the digital wave. Everyone's going online to look for staff rather than walk to a bank branch. So this is another reason, like Chi from Compare Hero shared, that how that has widened the reach for consumers. For banks, it's widened the reach for their potential customers.
Right,
and they're making money, these comparison sites.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, it looks like it's not a mutually exclusive relationship here per se, but, you know, what does this spell? I mean, the numbers that you just cited there, that tremendous growth in financial comparison sites, what does this ultimately mean for, you know, many of the existing staff at banks, right?
Right, so when I say making money, I'm talking about the UK site that's moneysupermarket.com, because that's listed. Here, they're not listed. So I looked at the annual report on moneysupermarket.com. But they're 20 years old over lah. Their group's profit increased 16% year on year to £73.5 million.
Okay, but that's
a lot of money.
That's in the UK.
The UK.
Yeah. I want to ask very quickly the question of comparison, because when you put banks against each other and you look at particular products, you know, is that the whole package issue that you need to compare, or you just like item by item, like how much, you know, interest rate, say fixed deposit, right? Do you just look at that? I mean, how best to think about comparisons? Because comparison is not so simple. It's not like just saying, oh, I offer you 4%, I offer you 6%, you know, because a lot, often it's packaged with all kinds of things.
Yes,
right?
It's true. So they put that. And another thing that I think Maybank's Fong shared with us is that because going online, everyone's online now. And he says that if a bank doesn't put their product there on comparison sites, they might miss out on a potential customer. So that's one thing that he said. He also noticed that customers today still go to bank branches to understand the product, but their initial research, point of research is online. So everyone still goes online, you know, to to do research for these things?
Yeah, I think going back to what Sharad is saying, and at least from my own experience, you know, it certainly starts with the product. So I know I'm in the market for a credit card, or I know I'm in the market for a personal loan. Where do I start? Perhaps these financial comparison sites, and then engage, you know, with somebody at the bank.
Right? Standard Chartered's Guven said that a customer who is comparison shopping for a loan on this channel has already demonstrated interest in a financial product. Mm.
So it's product-centric.
The interest is there already. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Now, if you have your own opinions about these comparison sites, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a SMS or a WhatsApp message on 018-789-8899. That's 018-789-8899. Tell us what you think. Our guest today is Joyce Goldstein, editor with the Edge Media Group. We'll be back with more analysis of the comparison sites and perhaps another story as well. BFM 89.9. Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutan, with me Tan Chung Han, and our guest Joyce Goh, senior editor with the Edge Media Group, on Pressing Matters, the show that gets to the stories behind the headlines. And we were talking about comparison, financial comparison sites, and the reasons why banks find it advantageous to work with them. Joyce, what else do we need to understand about these financial comparison sites and their relationship to banks?
I think their relationship. Standard Chartered's Guven shared with us that he believes that the relationship is still a symbiotic relationship that will continue for the long term. He also shared that, interestingly, these statistics that I thought was interesting was that first year of this year, comparison sites accounted for 30% of credit card sales and 50% of personal loans out of all digital sales for the industry. I mean, that's
quite substantial.
Yeah, right.
First half of this year?
First quarter.
Oh, first quarter.
He shared with us first quarter. So, I thought that was interesting. Mm. We thought it was interesting because that shows that a lot of consumers are going. I mean, it's a different way of looking at financial products right now. I think things have changed.
And it's not something new anymore. I mean, we are a few years into this game already, right?
Okay, right.
So. Well, I'm not, you know, I've never been to a financial comparison site that says something about me. But but I must ask you, so when you go into one of these sites, can you click through from that site into the bank specific? So basically, if you say, this bank A has a great deal, do I click through?
Oh, you can look, let's say if you can. For me, I think if it goes, you can look at from the comparison site, you can individually go to the sites. But you can also drop your contact and they will get someone from that bank to contact you. It depends on
what they actually, active interface.
They do,
kind of role.
And then that's how they get, I guess, a referral fee because they have to pass the lead to the banks. Mm. I mean, that's how they make their fee, I guess.
But then you've got some numbers here that talk about the approvals via these comparison sites, right? So 500 credit card approvals via those sites in 2013 versus year-to-date 80,000. So, you know, you're actually, being connected with these banks via these websites.
Right.
And I think what's interesting with those numbers, going from the hundreds to the tens of thousands, there is certainly a lot of more movement, a lot more consumers are gravitating towards these sites and actually getting approved along the way as well.
Yeah, these sites.
So it's not just information getting, you know, you're actually going through the whole process.
Yeah. And it's not just, the sites have been around in Malaysia for a decade, I find. Some sites. I mean, this concept of financial comparison sites have been around. It's just that recently that has gained traction. I think that is why the story, you know, how this story, I feel that came about. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Also, we have in our crosshairs ECM Libra Financial Group, which has identified hotel management and ownership as its new core business after disposing of its investment banking and security business in 2012. So that's like 5 years ago. Why the hotel management and ownership move?
Actually, it's not core business. They've clarified that it's not a core business, they're just diversifying into a new business to help them with their earnings. Their core business will remain in fund management. Yeah, they have confirmed that. It's just that they're looking at hotels. They're looking at diversifying revenue.
Because they are also leveraging on existing ties with Toon Hotels, right? Hence the rationale for going to the hotels. But it's not just like something they plucked out of the sky, right?
Yes, had an exclusive interview with Gareth Lim. He's a board member of ECM Libra. And he's also the CEO of Plateau Capital. That's the Singapore-listed Plateau that has a 19.78% stake in ECM. And Gareth's dad is Lim Kian On.
So obviously, you know, post that 2012 sale of its IB business, you know, their fund managing activities will be significantly lower. So how significant will it,
no,
will
this,
it be?
No, this hotel business, it will take time for them to grow. Right. I also had an interview. The interview was also with Mark Lancaster, who is the CEO of Real Estate and Partnership of Toon Hotels. And they shared that, he shared that there's significant potential in the acquired assets, but they need to refurbish the properties first. And they're looking at revamping and rebuilding the margins. So they're buying on potential here. It's not like straight away it's going to come in, you know. Yeah. It won't be so soon. And they have to they've shared their plans on how they're looking at, you know, revamping the whole Toon Hotel business. It won't be so fast.
Yeah. It makes you also wonder what kind of synergies can be had, or if at all, between, say, hotels and investment banking.
Gareth shared that they've actually been involved in hotels since 2006, right. Through Toon Hotels. So looking at it through the cycles, they believe that they see that very few businesses can deliver 2 to 3 times equity. So they're comfortable because they've been involved in the business for like close to 11 years now in one shape or form. And he feels that, you know, this will help with the earnings. But it won't be so soon. They have to build.
Even looking at their earnings, though, you know, back in 2012, you know, they had that disposal, right? So they registered a net income. I'm looking at Bloomberg data right now. Net income of almost 30 million ringgit. That was for the 2012 financial year that ended January 31st, 2012. You know, after that, massive loss. But, you know, in subsequent years, so like, you know, over the last 3 years, take last year, for example, financial year 2016, you know, their net income actually came down to 11.2 million ringgit. So obviously they're going to have to find, you know, some new channel for them to prop up.
That's what they're doing. Because prior to carving out their investment banking business, the group's net profit, let's say for FY2011 ended January 31st, hit 65.21 million, right? And it was 31.5 million in 2012. So that compared to the 11 month, because they changed their year end.
Right,
from January to December.
Oh, it's changed now?
Yeah, they changed.
Oh, okay.
So let's say we just look, 11 months is still one more month, too, you know, and they recorded, So this is 31st December 2016, ECM recorded net profit 6 million.
Down
from nearly 100% from 11.2 million for the 12-month period of January 31st 2016. But then again, they did divest their IB business. And the operating landscape has turned challenging for asset management.
But yet they maintain that fund management is still their core business.
Yes, they will still maintain looking at their maintain asset management as their core. But hotel is a way for them to diversify their earnings because they feel like they need to diversify their earnings.
Can I ask you, because, you know, some minutes ago I heard a Fuyo coming out from Hans.
Fuyo.
You know, because you said you were interviewing someone. I'm wondering about the people, the personalities behind the story. If you look at the names that have come up, Lim Kian On, that's Sri Kalimullah Hassan, who we've interviewed on The Breakfast Grill here, Mark Lancaster, you mentioned. Are these interesting individuals in terms of the kinds of creativity or energy they're bringing to the industry, to their particular businesses?
I think for Mark Lancaster, he's been in hotels for a while already. Kian On, he has been an old hand in the financial industry. And of course, Dato Sri Kalimullah, we know. Interestingly, with this thing that ECM's looking, injecting the hotel business, they're aligning their interests because there are a lot of, you know, same shareholders within the businesses. Tan Sri Tony Fernandez is going to emerge as a substantial shareholder after the proposal in ECM. You can see from our chart.
And speaking about diversification, they're also involved in hard disk manufacturing, right?
Yes.
Education with Epsom College.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yes. Interesting. So, yeah, it looks like their diversification is the name of the game here. But I'm trying to ascertain as to now that they are, you know, making that bigger foray into Toon Hotels, or specifically, hotels in general. Is there anything else beyond Toon Hotels? It's just Toon Hotels.
For now, I think they're looking at Toon Hotels. Sorry, another thing, coming back to Sharad's question on personalities, I think Gareth, this is one of his first interviews with print. I don't think anyone, but he has been in the business and he has been working in this business, building it with his dad.
Alright, so that's why the Fuyo.
That's why you had the Fuyo.
It's like Fuyo, exclusive, right. La, first on the print, la, the bear. I guess
don't
that's why we
be jealous. Sorry.
No, but it is fascinating, and also looking at just the prospects for Toon Hotels. Yeah, I think that's going to be quite interesting.
Yes, I think how they're going to reposition that product and offering, because they were frank to admit that they see potential in the hotel business, like Gareth said in an interview, but they do not expect to see earnings contribution from it anytime soon, because the group needs to reposition its product offering and place in the market. They were frank about it.
I mean, just taking a quick look at their share prices right now as we speak, we did see that massive spike from about 37 cent up to almost 60 cent back in May. And it's hovered above the 50 cent mark as we speak right now. It's at 52.5 cent per share, unchanged today. Yeah, and also, we will see how shareholders actually digest their news of further diversification moving forward.
Well, thank you very much, Joyce,
thank
for
you.
Joining
Thanks,
us this morning.
Thanks,
Exciting
Han.
Stories there. That was Joyce Goh, Senior Editor with the Edge Media Group. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the news, and then Enterprise begins. I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Tan Chung Han. Thank you for staying with us on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.